Congressman Sond, are we losing the Cold War in Asia?
What's wrong with American overseas propaganda, Mr. Congressman?
Can India win the race against communism?
Capital Cloakroom. From the nation's capital, CBS Radio brings you the 486th presentation of Capital Cloakroom, an informal interview with an outstanding public figure. Tonight's guest is Representative Dalip Sond, Democrat of California, and a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. He meets with CBS News correspondents Griffin Bancroft, Wells Church, and Robert Pierpoint. First, we hear from Mr. Bancroft.
Congressman Sond, welcome to Capitol Cloakroom, a mathematician and a judge and the first native of Asia to be elected to the American Congress. You have recently returned from an official trip through the Far East, so let's start out with that and with the question, are we losing the Cold War in Asia?
Well, my answer to that question is both yes and no. Yes, in this respect. Let us put it this way. In many places in India, I was asked this question by my audiences. Why are the Americans afraid of communism? That question itself connotes something. It signifies that communism has succeeded through the propaganda of Soviet Russia to give an impression to the people of India that there is nothing to fear from communist dictatorship.
Well, Judge Sond, how did you answer that question?
Well, I answered that question in this way. I said I'm not going to go into the economic facets of communism, but I lived in India for 20 years before I went to the United States. And I know how, under British rule in India, which was some kind of a dictatorship, we did not have any freedom of speech. We did not know what elections were, had no say in choosing the people who will rule over India. And then people could be arrested and held incommunicado and without any trial. And there was no dignity of man respected at all. And that was a much milder form of dictatorship than the godless Soviet dictatorship in Russia. And I said, I don't want to live that kind of a life. I believe in freedom of speech, and I have enjoyed the freedoms which democracy guarantees to people in the United States of America. That is what the people of the United States do not want to give up, their freedom, the dignity of man, and so forth.
Mr. Congressman, there's one aspect of this situation over there I wanted to ask you about particularly. I was over there in 53, and New Delhi, for example, I saw more Americans than I thought ought to be there. They were just hordes of them. Seemed to me entirely too many. Have we got too many over there? Is that harming or helping our propaganda approach?
I don't believe that we can have too many Americans in India, or we can have too many Indians in the United States if they are the right kind of people who will represent the real thinking of the American people.
Well, I think you put your finger on it. I wasn't too happy about those I saw.
Judge Sond, I'd like to ask you, India itself is in a race against communism, and it's been said that Communist China and India are both striving for the same objective, namely modern industrialization, to become a modern world power. And the question in my mind is whether India, trying to do this through democracy, is succeeding.
I think that India is making big strides in improving the standard of living for the people of India and industrializing the country. I saw the building of the Pokhara Dam, which is going to be the highest dam in the world. And there I saw 7,000 Indians taking part in the building of that dam, and there were only 22 Americans in there. Hundreds of engineers, architects, accountants, and other people. India is successfully carrying on her second year, second five-year plan. And I would not say that India is losing to communism. The Indian people seem to be enjoying their experiment with democracy in a big way.
But isn't there still a considerable amount of anti-American feeling mixed in with that?
Well, to answer the first question which was asked me, how are we losing the Cold War in India? Well, I'll say this from my experience, and this is my observation, that basically the people of India do hold feelings of deep respect and affection for the people of the United States. I'll say today, communism really has not got a foothold in India so far. The people do love their experiment with democracy, and they have respect and affection for the American people. They were irritated on the surface with some of the things that were happening at that particular time when I was there, but underneath, well, they do have respect and affection for the
American people. What things do you refer to? Such things as, say, Little Rock? Is that what you have in mind?
No. And strangely enough, while I was asked the question about Little Rock in every other country in the Far East I visited, everywhere, wherever I spoke. But in India, I must have addressed about 120 large and small public meetings. It was only in one place that they asked me the question about Little Rock. But the people of India were irritated about the fact that the United States is giving military aid to Pakistan. Their information was very misleading about the motives behind that and the incidents connected with it.
How did you explain it to them?
I explained it this way. I said the people of the United States today are giving military aid to many countries around the world, which includes Turkey, countries of Western Europe, Vietnam, Formosa, and Pakistan. So military aid to Pakistan is a part of the overall global military strategy of the United States and not an isolated act of picking on India alone.
But weren't they misled by their own leaders on this subject?
Well, I do not know. I think the trouble there is that we have not done a good enough job of stating facts to the people and the leaders of India. I was saying all the time that the Indian people have not done a good enough job of selling their viewpoint to the American people, and the same holds true as the American people are concerned about selling their viewpoint to the people in India.
Judge Sond, I'd like to go back to this question about the race against communism. You say that their second five-year plan has been successful, but I was in Asia for several years. In fact, I just returned a few months ago, and India was a part of my beat. And it was my impression that the second five-year plan has actually been slipping behind, and that the Indians have come to the United States with a rather sizable request for aid in order to try and get them to catch up in this five-year plan. And that actually, Communist China has accomplished a great deal more in the past 10 years in the way of dam building, which you mentioned yourself, and in industrialization than India has.
Well, I didn't say that their five-year plan has been successful. It's still being carried on. The success or failure of it will be determined when the period is over. And India does need credit abroad, and they are asking the United States for help in that regard. If the Chinese are making bigger strides in industrializing the country and in raising the standard of living of the Chinese people, then the Indians are, well, that is going to be harmful to the cause of the free world in that part of the world. But I believe that the Indian people, you can see signs of progress everywhere, and especially the spirit of the people of India. They're proud of their Indian independence, and they relish their newly won freedom. You could feel that in the debates in Parliament and the way they responded to my speeches and asked me questions, and the people, the way I talked to them. I believe that India is not going to be a fall prey to communism.
Well, Congressman Saun, you mentioned the Indian people have an affection for the American people and that. What about the rest of the Western world that are our allies? You mentioned the years of what you called a British dictatorship in India. How do the Indian people feel about Britain?
Strangely enough, England is really respected and even loved in India today more than any other outside country, more than Americans.
Well, is that because she agreed to Indian independence?
I know that I was talking to a man in Bombay when I was riding around with him, and we saw statues of King George and Queen Victoria and other Britishers in Bombay. And I said, well, everything seems to be all right. And we were passing by that arch through which King George V came in. And he told me, he said, England, British were very good sports. They came through this arch and they went out singing and in a very happy mood. And I read in the paper that when Mr. Macmillan was there recently, they were waving the Union Jacks and he was given a very good reception. The British have done a much better job of public relations in India than the United States has.
Well, Mr. Congressman, did you see President Sukarno of Indonesia on this trip? What do you think of him if you did?
Yes, sir. The ambassador, Allison, and myself, we had a visit with him that lasted over an hour. And we talked quite intimately about many issues. But he seemed to be absorbed by the, what he called the West Irian, which is the West New Guinea issue. He showed himself a great idealist. He is a very dynamic and forceful man. He told us, he said, I've got the people of Indonesia right in the palm of my hand. Don't let them slip away. Don't lose the game to Soviet Russia. What he meant was he wanted the United States to come out and espouse the cause of Indonesia in West New Guinea against Netherlands.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't have any particular opinions about that. And I talked to President Sukarno about some other matters, and he came back and he said, well, but Mr. Congressman, that's again slow evolution. We want revolution. He's an idealist and a very impatient man, but I discovered that he was the idol of the people of Indonesia, just the same.
Did you attempt to explain to him why we didn't propose to take that position in opposition to the Dutch?
It was brought out to him that it might be imposing a different kind of imperialism in West New Guinea. And he came right back. He said, that is debatable. But today, there is Dutch imperialism.